and welcome to Mormon Channel Daily. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. Thanks so much for joining us today. Hope you're having a great day so far. And maybe you've seen this already, but our latest Mormon message is called Earthly Father, Heavenly Father. It came out a few weeks ago, and if you go to our homepage on mormonchannel.org, you'll see it on there. It's Earthly Father, Heavenly Father, and to be honest, I was spellbound when I watched it the first time. It was on a large theater-type screen, and in tomorrow's show, I'm so excited about it, so I have to talk about it today, but in tomorrow's show, we're going to go behind the scenes and interview the filmmakers of that Mormon message and talk to them about their own experiences as fathers and how that helped inspire the film that this little mini film, I'm calling it a film, that they did. Anyway, so be sure and join us tomorrow. I'm excited to interview them. I think it's going to be really great. At church, I teach the 9-year-olds, and I think it's one of the best callings in the church. And I like to ask the kids questions, and I like to watch as they're trying to think about the answer, and you can see them turning it around in their mind. And when they grasp a concept and the light goes on and they're making a connection, it's really exciting for me as a teacher. And I'm guessing that's if you're a teacher by profession or you teach at your Sunday school or church or something, probably think that same thing, but it's been really fun to watch. And it seems like that's the focus of the new curriculum that they've started for the youth of the church. And it seems like the goal is to be a little more collaborative and to get the youth to share experiences and not just be presented to, but to participate in the discussion. And I personally think that that will help them to become better teachers and better missionaries as well, as they have those opportunities to share in their experiences. So for the first month that they rolled out this new curriculum, the theme was the Godhead. And I was thinking about that and I thought, why is that important, or why would that be beneficial for us to know about that? And as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, it's probably a concept that maybe some of us in the church take for granted, that we know what the Godhead is, that we have a Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and also the Holy Spirit. Those three are separate personages, even though they're one in purpose. And I was reflecting why that's important to us. And I was thinking of a quote that one of my teachers taught me once, which was from Lectures on Faith, and it says, "One of the things necessary for faith in God is to have, quote, a correct idea of His character, perfections, and attributes," end of quote. We can't worship somebody unless we really know who they are, and I think that's kind of the point, is that we know about our Father in heaven in Jesus Christ, that they have physical bodies and they consist of three separate persons. And it's a remarkable thing to know, and it's good for the youth to know and to study this. I'm curious to know how your experience went. Are you a teacher of youth? How did it go? I'd love to hear your experiences and your successes and challenges with teaching them. So feel free to email me, mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, and tell me about how it went. That email will come directly to me, and I sincerely would love to hear how your experience went. As I was reading part of the curriculum, I found a part from President Gordon B. Hinckley that's called In These Three, I Believe. It's an article from the Ensign in July of 2006, and President Hinckley is talking about the creation. He's referring to the part in Genesis where it says, "Let us make man in our own image." And President Hinckley says, quote, "Could any language be more explicit? Does it demean God, as some would have us believe, that man was created in His express image? Rather, it should stir within the heart of every man and woman a greater appreciation for himself or herself as a son or daughter of God," close quote. And I thought about that, and in a world that sometimes demeans or devalues us, it's a great reminder to remember that we are children of our Heavenly Father, and knowing that gives us a greater appreciation for who we are. And it's comforting to know that, especially maybe after a rough day or we've had a hard time, to remember that as we pray at night, maybe after the end of that rough day, that there is someone that's aware of us, our Father in Heaven and the Savior. They love us, and we can pray to our Father in Heaven And it's such a comforting thing to know that. One of my favorite quotes that I have that talks about the potential of men and women that we have here is from C.S. Lewis in his book, Weight of Glory. And he says, quote, "It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long we are, in some degree, helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with the awe and the circumspection proper to them that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit, immortal horrors or everlasting splendors." Close quote. And so I was thinking about that. Maybe you've had the experience, I know I certainly have, when someone isn't as kind to us as we would have wished they would have been, to show kindness to them and remember that we really are helping each other to one or other of those destinations. I was reading an article in LDS Living. It was called An Experiment in Kindness, and it's by a lady named Susan Wolf. And she talks about how there was this lunchroom lady in the place where she worked, and that she was a woman with frizzy hair and no makeup, and she never smiled and would pounce on people wanting a plastic spoon for their sack lunch. "That belongs to the cafeteria," she'd bark. "You need to pay for that." And she talks about how she decides to make her the subject of her kindness experiment. So the next time she goes to the lunchroom, she gives her a tip. And the lunchroom lady said, "Why are you tipping me? This is a cafeteria." She said, "You never make a mistake with my change." And the lunchroom lady smiles and says, "Thank you." And she talks about how as she begins to tip her, she notices that other people in line began doing the same thing. And the lunchroom lady began to wear nail polish. And when she complimented her on it, she began to wear lipstick as well. And a few days later, her hair was fixed and she was smiling and talking with the people in line. And the lunchroom lady finally confides in her and says that her husband of 26 years had left her for a much younger woman. And she said, "Then my mother passed away and one of my sisters died of cancer." The lunchroom lady paused as she leaned over and whispered, quote, "You made me remember there's still some good in the world." And then in the article, Susan Wolf says, quote, "I wiped my eyes and after eating returned to my coworkers. I explained to them what I had been told and they admitted the lunchroom lady had been a source of jokes. Lately they noticed she was friendlier and wondered why. We were all rather ashamed of ourselves. A couple of years later the lunchroom lady retired. There were three large cakes completely eaten by all her friends and it took two boxes to call all her gifts home. Some of the most prominent management types in that company could not boast a more enthusiastic celebration." End of quote. And I thought that was a good reminder for us all of how we are treating people and the kindness that we show to them, to remember that we are helping each other in one way or another. And maybe you've conducted your own experiment in kindness with someone that you work with or someone that you know. And I'd love to hear your results, maybe things that you did that worked or didn't work. But feel free to send me your comments at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org. And with that, I'm going to leave you with a song from Jenny Phillips called Tender Mercy.
I see the lights of home in the distance. I'm searching for the way back to you. I've traveled far from where you are, but I can see your arms still reach for me. Mighty mercy, tender mercy, like the rain falling on dry ground. Perfect mercy, sweet mercy, reaching down into the depths of me. Mighty mercy. Closed long ago. You've given me the hope that I need. I'm unworthy of your perfect love. My soul is weak, but you still believe in me. Mighty mercy, tender mercy, like the rain falling on dry ground. Perfect mercy, sweet mercy, reaching down into the depths of me. Mighty mercy, tender mercy. Untold, you make me whole with your mighty mercy, tender mercy, like the rain falling on dry ground. Perfect mercy, sweet mercy, reaching down into the depths.
This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.